The world has had to adjust to a new way of working this week, and we've all seen photos of central London looking deserted, like the opening scenes of 28 Days Later. But while the streets outside the Royal Courts of Justice on the Strand might be almost empty, inside it has been relatively business as usual thus far. This week, our intrepid court reporter James Lumley has braved both the RCJ and the nearby Business and Property Courts at the Rolls Building. How has the mood been, James?
Yeah, well, the commute in was rather quiet, but once inside, yes, it was business as usual. All the same faces were there. I was in on Wednesday, and judgments were being handed down, mm-hmm. hearings were being heard, cases were being processed. It was normal, but it was also rather odd, because just chatting with people, the general feeling was, how long is this going to continue? We're going to continue until we get told to stop, people were saying, but you know, when is that going to be? And there was a growing feeling on Wednesday that without guidance, things might become, well, intolerable, because the courts are... They're a funny old place, because, I mean, first of all, even the new Business and Property Court, it's none too clean. I mean, if you're going to look for the source of the next pandemic, you know, I think the High Court loos could well be one place you might find it.
And another thing, they're not really particularly the new Business and Property Court. They're not set up for people to have a great amount of space, particularly in a busy hearing with large legal teams. Being a metre or 2 metres apart is not really doable in one of those courtrooms.
Well, absolutely. And I had a wander down to the family court, as I do, just to see what's going on, because there's always a few interesting celebrity divorces going on, things like that. And, you know, there was a big team of celebrity divorce lawyers, and they were all huddled away in their 2 metres square room. And, you know, I mean, it was very, very much business as usual in that sort of odd way. And as well as being a place where you don't have much space and things aren't very clean and you have a lot of people, you also have a lot of members of the older generation. There's a lot of people who are over 60 and over 70 in the courts. I mean, even though the statutory judicial retirement age is 70, judges don't actually get their 70th birthday and retire. It's what actually happens is they retire on the anniversary of their appointment after they reach 70. So there are many judges in their 70th year, and a lot of judges get hired after they retire on year contracts for the Ministry of Justice. So David Eady, who's he must be 76 now. He's a famous libel judge. And he's still doing stuff. He's not doing libel cases, but he's certainly sort of helping out. And a lot of judges and a lot of lawyers just continue way beyond on 70. I mean, it's something that gets in people's blood. I mean, I mean, if they weren't doing that, they'd probably be sort of causing havoc at the golf club, prosecutions for people who don't rake the bunker or something like that.
You mentioned the bathrooms, but I've always felt a public health crisis in waiting would result from the tepid carafes of water that seem to sit in court for day after day. And
I know, you just think Legionnaire's disease over yeah. again.
But
and do they get washed?
I don't know. They always just seem to be there, and then you sort of attend an afternoon, and someone fills a glass from one, and you just wonder how long it's been sat there. So, is anything happening? Is anything going to change going forward as a result of the coronavirus epidemic?
Well, yes. I mean, as I said on Wednesday, people didn't have any guidance, and it was clear it couldn't continue. And one thing that was happening was that a lot of judges, well, some judges who were in their 70th year, were explaining that they were going to go into self isolation this weekend, so they didn't know when they were going to hand things down. Mm. And clarity has been provided in the last 2 days. So today, this morning, we got the key workers message about who's entitled to give their children places at school. Yesterday, the Lord Chief Justice...
Less a problem for judges, that one, than...
Not a problem for judges, but you know, I mean, lawyers, barristers. Yes. But also it specifies who is a key worker. And the message if I read it, is very, very clear. Mm-hmm. It says, key public services. These include those essential to the running of the justice system, religious staffs, charities and workers delivering key frontline services, those responsible for the management of the deceased, and journalists and broadcasters who are providing public service broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So that's the link of key public services.
Yes.
So it's clear that the court system is a key public service, mm-hmm. and it must continue. What's also interesting is that the government clearly agrees that the rule of law, the judiciary, and public service broadcasting are also key. Now, you know, that's really good to know, because some people might not have believed that, what they've been saying in the past. So what we do know now is that the court service is a key service which must be kept going. Yesterday we had a statement, a long statement from the Lord Chief Justice, mm-hmm. to judges in the civil and family courts. Now it was a bit controversial because it immediately went out only as an email to judges, and then after a bit of hustling and pushing and. After Joshua Rosenberg, I think, put it on his website, it finally went up on the Ministry of Justice website. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very clear, a very clear directive of what we should be doing. So the Lord Chief Justice says that that we have an obligation to continue with the work of the courts as a vital public service. And he points out that the need for schools to be closing and those over 17 with health problems to stay at home will have an immediate impact on the ability and willingness of people to attend courts and tribunals, which is clearly true. So that's, mm-hmm. yep. that's the problem. He points out that he says that the rules in both the civil and family courts are flexible enough to enable telephone and video hearings of almost everything. Any legal impediments will be dealt with. So it's in his opinion that remote court working is entirely feasible. Now, that might raise eyebrows for those who've attended a video conference at court, and it doesn't always work.
Yes, I'm not sure I've ever seen it successfully work, to be honest.
Well, I mean, actually, I've seen it successfully work, because back in 2005, I reported on the Roman Polanski libel trial, mm-hmm. in which he was suing Vanity Fair. He wasn't attending because he had to stay in Switzerland because he was worried about being, or maybe Paris, he was worried about being extradited to the United States. Mm. He was the claimant. There was a big video screen in the corner of the courtroom, and the entire case sort of worked with him as the remote claimant, and he won. So that was 15 years ago now. So I have seen things that, mm-hmm. have worked well with video conference. There's no reason why this. I mean, and Lord Chief Justice thinks there's no reason why this can't continue. He also says that the court service is working on technology, but he said in the meantime we have phones, we have video facilities, and we have Skype. So he thinks that we should think Skype. He's also put a load of YouTube videos on his note to teach people how to use Skype if they haven't, which is, you know,
yeah.
useful.
Yeah.
So now he goes on to set the default position. So the default position now in all jurisdictions, he said, must be that hearings should be conducted with one, more than one, or all participants attending remotely. Wow. So in civil justice. Mm-hmm. People should be attending remotely, one, more than one, or all.
Mm.
Many more procedural matters may be resolved on paper within the rules, which is, of course, true.
Mm-hmm.
He explains that he knows this is going to be difficult. He says that final hearings and hearings with contested evidence, they will have to be conducted using technology, otherwise there won't be any hearings. He knows it's going to be hard, but in future that's going to have to happen. And the reason why he says this, and this is really important, is because there are already backlogs in the court's work, and if we continue adjourning things, when we get out the other end, the pressure on the courts will just simply be far too much. So if we don't keep some semblance of business as usual, at the other end we're going to drown. Now here, this is what I think is really key. He also says, I would urge all, before agreeing to adjourn any hearing, to use available time to explore with the parties the possibility for compromise. He means settlement.
Yes.
So...
Oh, and obviously, you know, in recent years, parties at all levels of litigation have come under increasing pressure, or pressure is probably the wrong word, but increasing encouragement to consider all methods of alternative dispute resolution to sort of reach an amicable settlement, if at all possible. And it sounds like...
Or even an equitable settlement, even if it's not amicable.
Yeah, indeed. And it sounds like that encouragement is only going to get stronger in the coming weeks.
Well, yeah. I mean, people do really need to think, is your court case really necessary?
Mm.
It's going to be interesting.
It will be interesting. Yes. And so, obviously, most people listening to this will have probably in the last week become used to the joys of remote working and some of the challenges that present itself. By way of illustration, I currently have a very attention-seeking cat trying to steal me away from this recording. So apologies for any sounds that have intruded upon it. But that's going to be interesting to see how that kind of those additional distractions and elements of informality might influence the court process if hearings are being conducted remotely.
Yes, they'll just have to put their cats in other rooms like I do.
Yes, some are easier than others. but we know the classic news clip of the child bursting into the interview on the BBC. So perhaps court hearings will benefit from similar interruptions.
Yes, but in a way, although it's slightly different, if Jon Snow can present Channel 4 News from his living room, and I must say he's doing it looking, it looks very professional, it's a nicely dressed set. This is not beyond the wit of man. I mean, the Lord Chief just does point out that we've really got to do social distancing, keep away from each other as much as possible. I mean, gosh, I wonder what's going to happen in the actual judges' corridors behind the RCJ, because I don't think they have a great deal of space at the moment. No. I think they're all on one corridor, so perhaps they're going to have to spread out a bit. But I mean, that's their own.
Next week and in the weeks to follow, you anticipate there'll be a mix of people being present in court, cases being heard remotely, and judgments being handed down. So what's your approach? What's our approach at EG going to be in these troubled times?
Well, first of all, there will be proper hearings. So it says here, injunctions and committal hearings will probably have to be heard in person, and because they tend to be important.
Yes, people's liberty, you know, at stake sometimes in such proceedings.
But injunctions are also injunctions might not just be people's liberty; it might be huge sums of money involved in construction projects and things like that. So one thing this doesn't actually address, because it's aimed at judges, is how journalists will report. Now, journalists are key workers too, and I will be reporting on the courts as I always have done. Justice must be open, it must be seen to be done. Everything I can do remotely, which is going to be a lot, I'd imagine, I will. But if I have to pick up a court case, if I have to pick up a judgment or go and attend a court case, I'll do that too, just making sure I'm socially distancing. We'll be able to work it out, and we'll be able to keep the stories rolling. I mean, I suppose the thing that I think the bottom line is the courts are going to continue because it's a key service, and we're going to continue reporting on them. People working in the courts are key workers, but everyone's going to have a bit of imagination and keep as safe as possible. But one thing to point out, though, is that I mean, I've been reporting on courts for getting on for 20 years, so I'm a heavy court user. I've been in there a lot. But now, I usually don't go in more than twice or three times a week anyway. And I probably go in more than most QCs. So I think a lot of us can actually get away without being there every day. But people like the security guards, the ushers, the clerks, they are probably going to, many of them are probably going to be required to travel into central London every day and be in a place where they're meeting random members of the public from all over town. So I think, you know, I mean, those are the people who one must, you know, sort of think about most, because they're the ones who are invariably putting themselves most at risk.
Yeah, so any litigants or practitioners listening who have a cause to visit the courts in the coming weeks should bear that in mind and look after those staff the same way that people are being encouraged to look after shop workers and everyone else in the service sector who's pressed into service.
Yes, well, quite. And like I said, I envisage I'll be able to do a lot remotely, but... Mm. And I think most lawyers may well be able to do that. I mean, I think the bottom line is if you were, for example, a conveyancing solicitor, if you had a reason to go into court, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't go in. But otherwise, you should be working from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's pretty much bottom line. If you're a top QC. Well, you know, think very hard about how you can have a video conference, or think of an encouraging and innovative way to settle the case.
Now, you mentioned that you've been doing this for about 20 years, which means, frighteningly, between us, we have 40 years of experience covering the courts, which is just too horrific to think about for too long. And in that time that we've known each other, we've seen the world change around us. I remember when iPhones entered our lives as reporters and how that changed our ways of doing things. But one thing that hasn't changed very much in those 20 years that we've both been doing this is the court system. That, you know, it's not changed to the same extent one might imagine as other aspects of everyday life. We're all, after this situation, probably going to think about how our working lives could change on a more permanent basis to reflect some of the changes that we've made in this period, the remote working. Do you think that this could potentially, once life is approaching back to normal, this could have a lasting impact on the court system?
Well, I mean, people learning from their mistakes. Well, I'm going to say sort of yes, because as well as I've got experience of reporting on cases in the United States where you have PACER and you have a much more slick method of putting court dockets in online, and that's been going for a while. So, you know, we are behind the trend. We could be doing much better, and there are other models that we could follow. And the Lord Chief Justice says in this that the court service is going to try and be get his technology improved in the next few months, and Skype is meant to be a stopgap in between that. So there will definitely be some level of innovation, and that's what you always get during times of crisis. So yeah, there will be innovation that probably the budget hadn't been allotted to for the last few years, and as I said, the government has decided that the running of the courts is a key service, so they may well allot some budget that wasn't there previously. So yeah, it gives us something to think about. But when this all goes, will we be virtual citizens who only go in when we need to and settle court cases that we really don't need to fight and not use large amounts of court time arguing petty points? I don't think so. What do you think, Jess?
I suspect that in the next 12 to 18 months that we will see a lot of court cases that result from coronavirus. not a great philosophy. But bearing in mind that people are fighting over toilet rolls and pasta, I'm sure that there'll be plenty of disputes between landlords and tenants, and you know, other areas of property as a result of this. So no, I don't foresee a wonderful future of everybody settling their cases. But yeah, maybe we'll see a little more emphasis on remote hearings in courts.
But not until after we've had the Supreme Court battle into the meaning of the phrase force majeure, which is clearly on the cards.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, and you know, thank you for your continued service.
Oh, thank you.
Key service as it is.
Well, I mean, in perspective.
Yes. Some services are more key than others.
Yes.
Yes. Brilliant. Thanks, James.
Thanks, yes.